Welcome to the Hairdryer Treatment Podcast, powered by Kevin Grogan Soccer, Soccer Coffee, and much more. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Hairdryer Treatment Podcast show. This is episode number 29, and we're delighted to have a special guest, Sean Kenny, with us. Sean will come on the show once a week for the next 5 weeks in a five-part series discussing a range of topics about youth soccer. The first one will be about the coronavirus and the impact that has had on youth soccer. It's tough times for everyone. Everyone at this show would like to make sure everyone's safe and healthy and urge everyone to follow the guidelines that the government are putting forward in terms of social distancing and washing your hands and all the other things that we are being told about. So absolutely delighted to have Sean on the show. He's a major soccer figure here in America and he has a wealth of knowledge about the game, and we have some really good topics over the next 5 weeks. So after the break, we'll go straight into our first show with Sean Kenny. The Hairdryer Treatment Podcast is proudly sponsored by Rezl. Rezl is the market-leading, academically validated VR training and cognitive development tool for elite football and is already installed at world-leading clubs. Rezl.com. Sean, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
It's crazy times, right?
I'm locked in my house right now. Me, my wife, my kids, killing each other.
Well, I seen a great video footage of you on Instagram doing the toilet paper challenge. I think you got five keep ups, and then your dog tackled you. So that was very funny.
Not bad, not bad. I'll take that because I've seen some terrible ones, but so I'm probably right in the middle.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. So, I mean, it is crazy times, and we want to talk a bit about kind of youth soccer because that's predominantly what this podcast is about. All clubs are shut down, obviously. Like, surely that was the right decision. Some closed earlier than others. I think Westchester Flames, one of the clubs you're with, I think you were one of the first to close down.
We were. We have actually one of the girls, one of the team moms is a big-time pediatrician, and she was the one that kind of advised us to shut down. We'd all sorts of measures in place at training and games and not shaking hands and all that sort of stuff. So in the end, we just decided, no, let's just bail out. And I think we were one of the first clubs to do that.
Yeah, you were definitely. I was looking online, obviously, every day at different clubs and getting advice from different people. And you were one of the first clubs to do it, which was great. And then other clubs followed suit. So it leaves kind of everyone in a difficult situation. I mean, first and foremost, people's health is the most important thing. But there are other ramifications in terms of the economic side of things. So what happens with coaches, for example, that maybe can or can't be paid? How have you tackled that?
It's terribly difficult. I'm sure most of the coaches in the United States are either, you know, very much part-time or volunteer. So those guys are somewhat okay if they're working in their normal job, which most coaches are probably, and then they go coaching in the evening, the coaching's just shut down. It's the guys that rely on that paycheck every week that coach full-time. Those are the guys I think are in real trouble. I'm sure, you know, I can't believe any club is not paying them right now. But soon, very, very soon, the money's going to run out. And that's when we'll see all sorts of problems.
Yeah, it becomes difficult. One of the clubs I'm involved in, we've 100% committed to pay coaches for March, obviously. And we want to continue paying them as much as we can. But if, you know, subscriptions aren't coming in from the parents because, you know, there's no soccer to play, it economically becomes difficult. So it is very worrying, correct?
Oh, no, it is. And look, it's not just the soccer community. It's look at restaurants and bars. You know, they're devastated as well. So you know, we're not alone. It's the whole world is being affected.
Absolutely. And I think, obviously, the first and foremost, as I said earlier, it's about doing the right thing to stop the spread of the disease and all the other stuff. You would hope that there's a big enough community in all these different industries to help each other.
I hope so. It's just, We're at war, Kevin. The whole world's at war right now. You can't get away from it. I turn on the news. I open my phone. I open Twitter. Whatever it is, it's dominated by the virus, and it's scary. It's a very, very scary thing, and we just all got to do the right thing to sort of get rid of it or do whatever we can to stop it.
Absolutely. And then in terms of, you know, the mental health aspect of this, where people are isolated or in their apartments or can't leave their houses, it is important to try, I suppose, and see the positive side. And even that video that you posted the other night was brilliant. And, you know, it made me laugh and so on. And a lot of people are doing. How important is it to communicate with people and talk to people or post things online and try and stay interactive in that way?
All I can say is thank God for the internet and social media. I don't know how we would do without it, you know, just to be able to share stuff. I mean, we do a thing with our own club where nearly every day or every second day I've been texting guys to post this to their players or do this in the backyard or try this up against the wall or anything just to keep them going, to keep them occupied. The problem is, the biggest problem is that we don't know when it's going to end. If it was a couple of weeks and you could say, okay, we'll go running for a couple of weeks, you know, fine. But this could go on for months. This could end the season right here and now. And that's the hard part.
Yeah, it becomes very, very difficult, the uncertainty. And as you said there, trying to think out of the box. Again, one of the clubs I'm with, we use the Techni football app, which allows people to go in and do different skills and drills every day.
I love that.
And I think that's good. And I know you're sending your players stuff. And I think that is important, right, Sean, that we as kind of coaches or technical directors keep in touch with our players and try and get them, you know, to practice themselves.
It is. I mean, it's important for the coach to stay in touch with his players. But look, we all know kids today. It's very, very hard to get them to go out on their own and do anything, whether it's juggle or, you know, back in the old days, and I'm going to sound like an old, really old guy now, you know, it was no problem with me to take a ball out in the backyard and just kick up against the wall for hours, because there was nothing else. There was no video games. There was no internet. There was no social media. So that's kind of all we had. But right now, you're pushing these kids to get outside just for 5 minutes, you know, and it's a very, very difficult thing.
Yeah, it is difficult, but it will hopefully make the kids realize that, you know, back in our day when we played and on the streets where we always talk about, we learned all the technical abilities we had from playing on the streets. Maybe it's a chance for the kids now to kind of take that on board and go into their garden and just practice their technique, kicking against the wall, control pass and so on. And maybe it's an opportunity for them to do that.
I hope so. I think another part of the problem is the timing of this virus. Had the virus hit in the middle of winter when, you know, soccer was kind of closed down, especially in this area in New York, or in the middle of summer when everybody's on vacation, then it's different. But it hit right at the cusp of the soccer season here in New York. And then and not just pulled away youth soccer, but it pulled away, you know, watching it on TV. The Premier League is gone. The Serie A is gone. The Champions League is gone. So not only are you not able to play, you can't even watch games, which I'm sure most soccer nuts like yourself and myself, you know, we can't, it's just shut off completely. And I think that's the frustration of this whole virus thing.
And in reality, I mean, not to be it to be too doom and gloom, but in youth soccer here, will the spring season even go ahead? I mean, there's a massive chance everything just could be cancelled completely.
Absolutely. We're sending out, like the club is sending out, you know, 2 week notices. When we first closed down, we were closing down for 2 weeks. Now that's been extended to the end of March. Now it's gone to the end of April. I can't, you know, if it goes till May, June, now we're in real trouble. Now they'll just have to forget about it. You just have to close the season completely. And I think that's what's going to happen. I can't see leagues extending it for the length of the summer. And then we're running into high school and you're running into the new season again. And my gut feeling is that it'll be scrapped. It's a terrible thing to say, but that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, that could be the reality. And then I suppose, the most important thing is that kind of this virus blows away. And if the spring season was scrapped and we could start fresh in fall and everyone be healthy and fit to start playing again, that wouldn't be the end of the world. At least we've got rid of the virus.
Well, that's, I mean, I'm looking at the news all day, and when you see the pictures coming from Italy and Spain and that, you know, and some of the places in the United States, it's scary, scary times, and we have to, the soccer community has to do its bit to stop the virus.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you've been, Sean, you've been in the States for a good chunk of time. Has there been anything kind of as crazy as this in your time here? I know obviously 9/11 was crazy as well and different things like that, but this just seems to be bizarre, the whole thing. It's something you'd see in a movie.
Well, it's the old, you know, you look at the news and you see terrorism in the Middle East, or you see earthquakes or the tsunami or, you know, plagues or whatever, but it's never in your back door. And even when we had like Hurricane Katrina and all the American disasters, it was never kind of in this area. This is the first thing I think that has really, really affected this region anyway, in New York, not, you know, and the whole world. So I think we're in a very, very strange times, and nobody knows, Kevin. Nobody has any answers. We're just kind of listening to the radio and doing what we're supposed to do to try and help curb this. But I don't think anyone has any answers. Nobody can say when it's going to end. That's the sad part.
Yeah, then kind of, you know, there has been issues with some people, maybe younger people in colleges on spring break and different things like that, where they're maybe not taking it as seriously as maybe they should, even though it might not directly affect them if they get it, but obviously they can pass it on to other people with underlying illnesses. How important is it for every generation to really take this seriously?
Well, as they say, this is the new generation's time to step up and do something good for the world. This is your chance. I think it gets people mad when you see the spring breakers, you know, frolicking on the beach or whatever and going into bars and stuff. It does get people who are doing the right thing mad. But those are rare cases. For the most part, I think most people are doing the right thing. So hope to God that it all ends soon.
And then just touching on kind of the professional soccer scene, you know, obviously we follow the English League a lot, and obviously the Irish League. I mean, start with the League of Ireland. I mean, that's a real issue in terms of player payments and different things like that, where they'd really rely on that. That looks very messy and kind of grim as such. What's the solution there? Is there a solution? Does the government have to come in and try and bail them out, or the FAI?
It's a hard one. I mean, where do you stop bailing people out? Is soccer any more important than the restaurant business or the pub business? Or, you know, that's a really, really tough one. And the League of Ireland is in the same boat as kind of the paid youth soccer guys in this country. Like, who do we can't bail out everybody, I'm sure. So it's gonna get worse, I think, before it gets better. And I feel bad for those people. I really do.
Yeah, I seen James McLean, a professional soccer player who plays for the Irish national team, making a donation, which was great to see, giving back, because he'd be in a position maybe where he's privileged enough to be able to do that. So that was a nice gesture.
No, absolutely. I don't think anybody in the high end of the professional ranks, whether it be the Premier League or La Liga or whatever, is worried right now about a paycheck. But the people that, you know, work in the stadium or work in the restaurant beside the stadium or rely on Real Madrid playing at home every couple of weeks, they're the people who are hurting right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to kind of watch and see. And I think you're right. It'll probably get worse before it gets better. And the Euros has been cancelled during the summer, I think, because if they have any chance of playing the domestic leagues, that'll be pushed into the summer.
Yeah.
It was probably the right decision to make an early decision
on
that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're right. It does. It buys the league's time to get their act together and maybe play through the summer. And plus, a European championship, you know, it's people coming from all over the world. And that could be scary too. So they definitely did the right thing there.
And then in terms of the Premier League and Liverpool so close to winning it, but not quite there. Like, could there be a situation where these games don't get played? Do Liverpool get made champions? You know, what happens there? And I know we laugh about that as well. And a lot of ribbon going on with different people who support different clubs. But it is a bizarre scenario because if they get given the league title, I think they'd be the first to admit it wouldn't feel necessarily
No,
right.
you must be delighted as a Man U fan. So, no, look, I'm sure they'll play it. They have to. They can't just give the trophy away. And it's not so much the Liverpool thing. It's the promotion, relegation, the getting into Europe. There's so much going on, and not just in the Premiership and in all the leagues around the world. So it's hard to just cut it off and say, "Okay, Liverpool, you're the champions." But what about the relegated guys? What about the guys, trying to get into the Champions League or whatever? And that's the hard part, I think.
Yeah, it's very tough, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them. And I think you made a great point there about the relegation and the promotions. For someone to get promoted from, the second division to the Premier League is a massive financial boost for them. And if they don't get that opportunity, there might be someone on the fringes there that might have a chance to get promoted, and then they don't because it gets cut short. I mean, that's massive implications on them
Well,
financially,
I think you
correct?
hit the nail on the head there, Kev. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. It's not about that poor fan going to the game or that guy that's out of work. Or it's all about the millions and millions of dollars that are being churned around in all these leagues.
And then, in terms of just one thing that came up the other day, and a lot of this stuff is kind of, it's irrelevant in many ways because of what we're going through. But I think it's good to talk about different aspects because, our listeners will want to, do something during the days when they don't have anything else to do. But with the Mick McCarthy and Stephen Kenny, they were meant to transition after the Euros. How does that work now? Does Mick McCarthy just stay till that campaign is over?
I don't know. I don't know. But that's the remnants of the John Delaney era, I think. So he's still around. I don't know what they can do. If they promised it to Stephen Kenny and Mick McCarthy's contract is up, then they have to honor that. I don't know what will happen. I don't think it'll work. The two guys sharing it. I know there was talk of that. That's not going to work. I don't. I'm sure they're waiting to see if if Ireland qualify. I'm sure that has a bearing on what's going to happen, whether Mick will stay on or whether Stephen Kenny comes in and takes over.
And obviously, it'd be great if we do qualify in the sense of some of the games are going to get played in
Oh,
Ireland
absolutely.
in the
Yeah,
Aviva. It'd be
absolutely. Yeah.
fantastic. Yeah, it's crazy time. So, Sean, we're obviously going to do a five-part series. This is our first one, and obviously, we kind of wanted to talk about the coronavirus. And we're also going to talk over the coming weeks about how to get identified for college, the kind of academy v high school model. How to become a professional in the USA if you're a youth player. And then we're also going to talk about a bit about growing up in Dublin and playing schoolboy football there. So some interesting topics to come. But thanks for coming on the show today, Sean. And I think it was a great
No,
start. And stay
a
healthy.
pleasure, Kev. I just hope it wasn't too negative. The virus thing is getting people down, but we'll get through it. We'll get through it.
Absolutely. And we'll make up for it in the next show. We'll be a bit more upbeat. But thanks
Thanks,
very much,
Kev.
Sean.
Thanks
We'll
very
talk to you next
much.
week.
Bye-bye.